All right, recording. I like this.
Yeah! All right.
Okay. Space Rocker Podcast.
Space Rocker Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, yes.
You're not your mic yet.
I'm not. No, I know. I'm very slowly approaching
I'll
it
I'll
from
sync you until you
the
get
other
to your
side
seat.
Of the room, and I'm gonna plug my headphones in. Welcome. I hope it was recording because it's gonna sound stupid if it wasn't. But welcome, everybody.
What do you call that little ditty?
I think that's Gran Turismo menu music is what that was.
This is the new Face Rocker Podcast intro song, live, coming at you, solo status, John Bonham on the drum style, Moby Dick style drum solo.
We kind of made it through there.
Almost. We're doing something a little bit different for this one, and we'll see if this technical experiment works, because we're shooting a video. And we're doing this live on video right now. So if you guys are watching this or listening to this and there's a video accompanying it, then you'll know that.
Then you know you're watching a video of this.
Then you'll know. It's kind of a platitude.
I don't know if anybody else did know that we were doing that. So I apologize for my appearance.
Matt was not expecting a video.
Yeah, I was not expecting. I would have shaved and lost 50 pounds.
Matt is normally so much sharper dressed when he comes to work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just suit and tie, just straight up like J-pop. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, we're joined today by the one and only Will Campos. Hello. Say hello.
Hello, everybody. This is voice of me, Will Campos.
Hey, Will.
Also the voice of Shotbot. But,
that's true.
Oh, that's right.
And a co-writer on Video Game High School Season 1 and Season 2 and
co-creator.
And Season 3, I might add, which you and Matt are busily working on as we speak. So are you going to tell us anything? You going to tell
about
us anything
season
about
three?
Season 3?
No, you won't.
It's all kissing and love notes. There's a lot of sexy looks. We have a new character who's a vampire that shows up, and he plays dating sims.
I mean, now why even watch it?
Don't spoil it all.
Yeah.
We are getting close to season 2's release. We are looking at just over a month away, and I see Matt here slowly having a heart attack
We'll get there.
We have 6 huge episodes. I think the longest one we have right now is looking at like 38 minutes long.
So 38 minutes? Is that like a fine? Are you guys are gonna? Is that? Did we write a script that long, or did it?
Well, you know what throws me.
I will say six episode was always long, and it's a lot of action, so I mean it'll get trimmed down.
Well, plus the sex scene's pretty long too.
Sex scene's pretty long.
Well, what throws it all off is the fact that these action, like most of the time, like a sitcom script or like a comedy script, it won't have like and then action happens.
That's
and
true.
It's like it'll be like a paragraph that you guys have in there for action happens, but then it ends up being like 3-4 minutes solid of just gunfighting, car drifting, face punching action.
We should when we get that episode 6, we should show it to like Jen and Ashley Young girls, because Ashley was saying that she remembered the rough cut of episode 6 being boring once the action started.
Really?
Yeah. And what? I was like, and she was talking about Man of Steel, about how like those 40 minutes of action were just really boring. And she's like, yeah, I liked everything. It was all really good, but it just felt like there's too much action. So we should, that might be a good test of as far as, you know, the right editing of it and getting the emotional
good,
beats
like
in between it.
Like a focus group of two good girls.
Yeah. Well, it's more than, I feel like us were like, whoa, that was 15 minutes of awesome shots that we did ourselves and we're awesome. And it might be good to double check that it actually tells a story while it's happening.
This is a process, by the way, which was not undergone even in mere discussion at any point on on the Mortal Kombat web series.
Yeah,
I might add, that was a lot. There was a lot of this was cool.
Yeah.
Therefore, let's put it in.
Don't think the Mortal Kombat guys did the girlfriend test? Because that's explicitly what you're talking about.
And they played the entire show, and they said this is not boring, and then it went straight to the internet.
For those of you who aren't in the know, the girlfriend test is a pretty regular thing we do in the writer's room a lot, where it's basically, it's in theory you're like, does this play to a female audience? But basically it's just a way for you to reaffirm that your girlfriend loves you and thinks you're talented.
Because a lot of times you'll set up the TV, like I know Matt will set up the TV, and then he'll be right behind the TV looking at her. Just like, so what did
happened.
You think?
What am I watching? What am I showing her on the TV? Oh, the cut. I thought you were talking about writing. I was like, look at the script on the TV and tell me what
Oh,
you
I've
think.
Done that before.
What?
Have you?
I've definitely watched my girlfriend read something you just stare at them.
Yeah, and they're not laughing.
You're not laughing, weren't
like,
you?
What was laughing? It'll be like, you'll get the chuckle and be like, what was that? Was that? Oh, was you at that part? Okay, cool.
Okay.
Yeah, it gets better. They're usually going to, yeah.
I mean,
wait, you're already there. You didn't laugh, but
did you miss the other stuff?
You missed the other stuff.
There's a lot
funnier.
Of that that goes on. Yeah.
And going through SC Will, you were always like, the writer dude. If you know, if I don't, if I mean, like, not to like go, you know, to
not to compliment you too much.
Not to compliment you too much, but like,
he didn't say the good writer dude. He just said
I'm just saying, like, there were like, you filled, like, that was the guy that everybody, I know, at least everyone that I knew, all of my friends, was always like, oh, hey, yeah, Will, the writer. He's the writer. Yeah, yeah, of course. Like, so I don't know how you managed to evoke, like, I'm a writer. You know, because you weren't doing, like, you know, the writerly things of hanging out in coffee shops all the time with a laptop. But yet somehow you had this reputation of being the dude who's like, you want to know the quintessential writer? That's that Will Campos guy.
I was not aware that I had that reputation at all until you just said that. That reminds me of, like, in middle school when, like, after I graduated middle school, people were like, oh, you knew, like, a couple girls had crushes on you, Will, and I'd be like, what? I'm very not aware of how I appear to other people, but I guess I'm glad I evoked that.
Will's the most writerly person ever.
He is. He's the most writerly.
Yeah.
So how does that? I don't know.
Like, I feel like, because even screenplay writing, I feel like, is not different than writing. But when people think of writers, like, you are the guy who has, like, the syntax and the grammar and all the vocabulary, and you care about how your sentences are structured. Whereas, like, frankly, even, like, some of the best writers I know, you read a script, it's like, it's more about what's on the page and, like, what the story is and stuff. And
the grammar? Fuck grammar.
Well,
but you, sir, are the total package.
Yeah, okay. You're a writer. Well, let's not say total package, but just saying he's definitely a writer.
So you're saying I'm a grammar Nazi.
No, I'm just saying you are definitely, like, a writer, though, which I think that's rarer and rarer these days.
Especially when you take a movie like Superman.
Oh, wow.
That was a pretty solid transition.
Thank you.
Well, Will didn't see Superman.
I didn't see it, but I'll weigh in on it. I have an interesting thought about Superman, actually.
Let's hear it.
I hear, anyway, they make this big deal about how he's 33, and, like, they kind of lay on, and they did this in Superman Returns,
too. Yeah,
there was
that big, long 33 birthday, like, 33rd birthday scene. I don't think that was...
The scene where they were at TGI Fridays, and all the people came out with the cake.
Okay,
yeah, he's like, guys, come on! And he's like, I don't need
No, but they mention it, and it's like, they do the Christ figure stuff, and they did that in Superman Returns, too. Like, everyone likes it. It's like the easy kind of place to go with Superman. It's like these kind of Jesus allegories.
Yeah.
And I read a review of Superman Returns. I mentioned this, and I thought it was fascinating that the author saw this really interesting parallel between religious iconography and comic books, where, like, you look at how, like, religion. I don't know if you guys know anything about, like, religious paintings or anything like that, but if you're going to do, like, a scene from the Bible, like Jesus on the cross or, like, Mary giving birth, like the Virgin Mary, like, there's very specific rules to how you're supposed to present them, and, like, you know, like, there's these incredibly minute details. And comic book movies are kind of the same way, where, like, people are very specific about, like, oh, how does Superman get his cape? How does Peter Parker get bitten by the spider? Like, you know, let's see, these very specific kind of methodologies.
Lots of symbology.
Ritual.
What it made me realize is that, like, religious fundamentalists, a lot of them are just fucking nerds. Like, they're just, it's not so much a Bible fanatic, it's a Bible nerd.
I like
to
take it the other way, that a lot of nerds are as weird and ignorant as religious fanatics is actually the problem.
Exactly.
They get stuck on these specific things rather than actually caring about the meaning.
Yeah.
Where it's like, what isn't Superman's, like, you know what, if Superman's cape was fucking green right now, just because it might look better, like, everybody would flip a shit. And does it really matter? Like, does it really matter what color you're saying? Never, like, it matters.
But, like, excuse me, Matt, but
that
red.
might have been a bad example.
But it's like, you know, like, the same way someone, like, actually in Action Comics number 253, someone's like, actually in Leviticus 23:17, it says that it's forbidden for man to lie with another man. So, like, it's kind of like,
well, that's actually great, because there's also contradictions in the Bible. So
yeah,
it's like,
what's canon? Like, and then
it's just these nerds are constantly just struggling to try to make sense of these contradictions and trying to make a canon that somehow fits all the various versions. There's only one version of Batman. That version of Batman's, like, actually an alternate reality.
The, like, King James Batman.
Old Testament versus New Testament is essentially DC Universe pre and post Infinite Crisis. Yeah. You know, where they're like, all right, we got to reboot. This is getting too crazy. We got to attract new people to Christianity. Let's just do a New Testament and just throw out the old canon.
Not everybody burns in
hell
anymore.
But not everybody threw out the old canon. You still got Judaism, where they're like, no, the old canon, that's the good stuff. You know?
That's good. I like this.
So it makes me wonder then, like, why don't you take this to the logical extreme? Where we say, all right, let's do Bible comic books, right?
I think the logical extreme is
from the Bible portrayed.
No, here we go.
Hero Marvel.
The logical extreme is 1,000 years from now, when nobody cares about comic books.
Like, I want to see Jesus in, like, the Hero 3-point stance.
No, I want to see. I want it's the blade drop.
The blade drop. Yeah.
Imagine the Passion of the Christ reboot that rediscusses the origin story in a dark, grittier way. For Jesus Christ.
Did you see Passion of the Christ?
As long as that shit's in 3D, I'm there. IMAX.
You do. You do superhero.
I always thought that would have been an interesting. You guys know Elseworlds, like the DC comics that they do, where it's like yeah. Superman Red Sun, where it's like, what if Superman was a communist, or like, what if Batman had Green Lantern's ring? Yeah. I always thought that would
what
have been
if an... Superman's cape was green?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always thought that would have been an interesting Elseworlds. You do that. Superman lands in like in basically the time of Christ, and like the star that the three wise men see is his ship landing on Earth, and then like Jesus and Joseph, I mean Mary and Joseph raise him, and they're like, "You're the Messiah, like that we've been waiting for," or whatever. You do.
Well,
like,
really, I would be curious about this because I never understood the whole Superman as a Christ figure. Feels like either people don't understand Superman or don't understand Christ, because he's about like it's literally he's about the least Christ type figure ever, outside of the fact that he came from another planet. Just as
which
a guy,
just like wait what
yeah exactly like he's but outside, like, look, as a guy who went to Catholic school, like Jesus Christ is about vulnerability, and he came and has become one of us and could die at any second and then gives up his life for our sins. There's not as far as I know, there's no Superman story where he's like, hey, Superman is just a man and he could die and he kills himself as
but
Jesus Christ is all about
see,
sacrifice.
They're both 33. So.
They're both 33. Like, that's what I mean. There's
and,
like,
and Superman does this when he falls down.
Yeah,
so
like,
you know,
there's like no similarity outside
of that. I think
the
allegory comes from like again, it's the way Superman tends to go. People like to talk about him as the savior of humanity and stuff like that. So there's some. It's. I mean, yes, it's obviously not a 1-to-1 parallel of Jesus.
It's like not even. It's like, but it's like not even close. It's like the closest is that it's a guy who is greater than us in some regard, but it's not even that isn't the same. He's from another planet and he's super powerful. Jesus is whatever from God.
I mean,
and he's a normal man.
Yeah, except for, I mean, well, except that he walks on water and can turn water into wine,
but
heal people and come back to life and move boulders. He's got
superpowers. To be fair, moving boulders is about the only thing.
Exactly.
That the
to be fair,
is.
That's actually most of what not what it's about. Like Jesus mostly preached to people and was like trying to spread good words and fought against
and
like,
I honestly
tyranny
think it would
stuff.
Be interesting to see a Superman story where he was like that, actually,
I think
as opposed
great.
To focusing on how hard he can punch General Zod or whatever.
It already exists and it's called the Bible. So why don't you just crack one open, Will?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting because you ever say that, and it's almost like it's such an easy thing now, especially in movies, where it's like, oh, yeah, I told Christ allegory there, man. It's like,
it's validation.
It's a pretty easy. Well, I think honestly, a lot of times it's also an easy thing to reach for to posture to
it's
depth.
Like the,
it's like, easy to be like, oh, Jesus, all right.
People
like,
say hate all the time, but it's all comic books now are all about validation and making people feel validated in their love of comic books, and rather it just being like, this is a fun fable, it's a fun story. It's like, yeah, he's a Christ figure. This
you know,
is incredibly important.
You might have heard about Christianity. It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, put a cross behind him out of focus, and yeah, now our shit should be given Oscars and we're Citizen Kane.
So there's sort of talking about. That sort of thing. You reminded me, Matt, about your take on the last Superman line in the movie. Again, we're going to spoil this, but whatever, guys. He has this super American, like, low ball, like, just easy pitch in middle America where he goes to the general. The general asks him, like, how can we trust you? And he says, I'm from Kansas. How much more American could I get? And they blast away with, like, three sonic booms as he, like, disappears over the Arizona desert. But
that's funny. It's like, I'm from Kansas. How much more American can I get? Clearly proves he's an alien from another planet.
Well, that's what I said. I was saying it should be, I'm from another planet. I illegally immigrated here and I've been working hard labor for $8 an hour. How much more American can I get? And just fly off.
How about I just saved all your asses from dying? How much more thanks a lot can you get?
Yeah, I'm an illegal alien and I've been working minimum wage jobs my whole life, undocumented. How much more American can I get?
Yeah. Or it's just being like, you literally can't destroy me, so
like,
go fuck yourself.
How can you trust?
I want to see that, Superman.
Yeah.
So how can we trust you? Sir, I'm a man and I'm white. Come on.
Flies off.
Good God.
And they just fist pound. They just fist pound.
Patriarchy.
They just fist pound and they get into the truck and you just see them at a bar.
Yeah. So my biggest issue with the movie, I have a lot of issues with the movie, but like the biggest one is I thought they focus test movies and I thought they tested lines to see if they would play, because there's a line in Superman that is like possibly the most cringeworthy, like just does not work at all line I've ever heard, which is when he kisses Lois Lane and they're standing at the base of Ground Zero times 1,000 and she wants to make out with him because she's so enamored.
This has just happened, by the way.
Yeah, it's like, so like the
plane, and they only showed three of her coworkers survive, so you have to assume everybody else died. So everybody she knows outside of three people have just died.
So then so she's clearly enamored and wants
so she's to, horny.
She wants to get it on. So they're sitting there and she kisses him and she goes, I heard it only goes downhill after the first kiss.
Which, by the way, where did that come
where
from?
Did that,
isn't
right.
the opposite is it, usually yeah. true?
It's like Cosmo's worst sex advice guide ever. Yeah.
She just read it that morning in Cosmo, but Lois Lane, crack reporter and tabloid consumer.
Just everything about that line just smells.
And witty quipper.
Just everything about that line is like the worst possible stereotype of like a nerd who's never kissed a girl and thinks this is cool. That like, yeah, Superman just like blew the whole city and like obviously she wants to kiss him and duh, the first time you kiss is totally the best time, but he's going to suffer. Like, it's like, what is this?
While they're standing in the pit of Ground Zero amongst so the cool. ashes of millions of dead Americans.
Oh, and that's the best part. So, and then, and of course, his follow-up line is, well, and it's like such an awkward, well, this is like almost exactly how yeah. this is almost exactly
he's
how
a mongoloid.
It is. This is almost exactly like in the movie. He goes, well, I heard that only applies to when you kiss humans.
And like, where did he really? Hear that?
Where's he getting this from? Where's he hearing this from?
I mean, okay, that's clearly banter. Like, he's clearly like, and he's stumbling because he's dealing with this really weird line she just threw at him. And he's like, I'll play along with this, like I guess.
That. So now here's the thing, because I want to do a re-edit of that scene where you cut him out, and in the background, we put thousands of people like carrying their limbs, dragging their loved ones from the rubble, like a guy just crying over this death of his daughter, just screaming in tears because that's what happened. There's no one in the shot, but what you would see is just people coming out of the wreckage like zombies, just like limbs missing, cries of agony, blood everywhere, arterial blood just spraying from wounds. Well, and meanwhile he's like I heard that only applies when you kiss humans. So
it's the biggest problem I have with
guys,
all
guys. I hear your complaints. I'm gonna drop a bomb on you right now that'll make you real bad. Comic book movies are literally for children.
Okay, no.
I agree with
this
you.
This is what I'm getting at.
Adults walk out of these movies.
These are for babies.
No. Right. They're not, so that's what I was going to get. That's the problem
Ooh,
I have
here
with
we
all
go.
Of,
here
all,
we go.
All of Nolan's films, even Dark Knight, which I think is easily the best of his, but they're adult films that are still essentially
inherent. No, they're
inherent.
Not.
You're saying that Dark Knight is... No. The Dark Knight aesthetically and in every single way is designed as an adult film. The Dark Knight Rises
because
is designed
that's
as an adult.
Because little kids want to see to be
no,
cool.
No.
But
no.
at the same time, though, but
Spider-Man
you
2 is a film that is good for adults, is an adult and mature film, but has the aesthetics and understanding that this is ultimately a tale
comic
for
book
everybody.
Movie. It's hyper-real. Look at
it's actually
palette.
Grotesque when you think about the way Dark Knight, like if that's for kids, that's fucked up because I don't want my kids growing up with that sort of Batman, which is like all these weird gray morals about learning whether or not you should murder people or whether or not you should use Patriot Act. Like what the fuck? Like that's not a comic book. That's not for kids.
Well, we're not saying that the... I'm still here. Don't all right. understand
Here's
the
your,
audience.
I'm understand. Yeah. I understand but. what you're saying, but this is literally like complaining about the French fries at Applebee's or something like that. Like it's like these are this movie. Yeah. Like Superman is like this is like the Chili's of movies. It's
no.
like. So
no,
like
but
you're
here's,
getting
but here's
all this, like you're
just,
getting worked
no, no,
up
no.
about it. I'm like,
you
just ordered,
no,
you
whoa,
went
whoa.
To Chili's.
And you ordered the Bloomin' Onion at Chili's,
and you're
now
like it's a little greasy.
It's too salty.
Not to be, but again. I would agree with you unless there was a site, restaurantdb.com, that lists the top 100 restaurants in the world and everybody has decided that Chili's is the number 3 restaurant above the French Laundry. You know, like, that's like
wait,
the thing.
Wait,
popular.
I would also agree with you if we were fucking talking about the children's films are Chili's, which is fucking bullshit, because this is not about what genres are better than others.
I'm not saying what genres. I'm saying what movie.
But no,
and this
book,
movie is
book,
the Chili's of movies.
A comic book movie.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Spider-Man 2 is French Laundry, sure. But like, this... this movie, Star Trek Into Darkness, this is like, we are wasting, like, and this honestly baffles me, because like, I've seen, because like, this movie, Iron Man 3, Star Trek Into Darkness, it's like these big blockbusters, and then there's all this hand-wringing about it on the internet, and there's all these people typing their analyses, and like, is this film, what is going, and I'm like, you're talking about, like, Benihana's.
Well, unfortunately.
Like, you're talking about, like a which burger is better, the Round Robin burger, or like, I don't.
No, stop.
Red Robin.
Yeah.
Red
oh,
Robin.
Round Robin was a place where I grew up.
Here's
Red
the problem.
Robin,
Red
that
Robin's
would,
where
here's
I'm
the
from.
That would be fine.
Nice. Fist bump.
That would be fine if these were films that were coming out at budget levels of Red Robin that were just the casual thing that you had and nobody talked about them as the best films ever. But if, no, they're not the Red Robins, because the film industry and the film blogs and the whole culture of film and our culture has somehow risen these things to the level that now...
Because we keep talking about them like they're important.
Well, here's the thing,
but this is what we're saying. We're talking about them that they're not important, and the problem is that they need to go back to sort of things like if they were more like Hellboy 2 and Spider-Man 2 and could be... Because again, I think those are great
popcorn
films.
Popcorn flicks,
no, but see, I don't even think popcorn flicks. That would be like saying a comedy is less important than a drama. I think Citizen Kane is no different than Gold Rush. They're just different sorts of film. I think Spider-Man 2 is every bit as good as the best film that came out this year.
I'm not saying that a superhero movie can't be art or a superhero movie can't be a great film. Again, I'm talking, but it's like the... Like this movie is clearly mediocre.
I agree. But it's also the big event film, so of course we can talk. That's also like complaining that people are talking about it's like people complaining that we're talking about. Well, I think Kanye is awesome, but it's the big pop culture thing at the moment. So of course people talk about pop culture is important in its own right.
To understand Matt, though, to just to make sure we're all on the same page, and for everybody listening and watching at home, Matt is like, he's Atlas, basically. He puts the entire film world on his back. And when he sees that, like, the response to something which he considers as, like, subpar storytelling is accepted and paraded around as this is great and this is what is awesome. And
are
this
people
is...
saying that Man of Steel is great because it's batting like a 60%? Yeah,
well, I'm not saying that, but I'm referring to things like, you know, like say Dark Knight and those things like that, where it's like it's lauded as like this is great, right? Like Star Trek, you know, that type of thing. Really, that harms Matt.
I think maybe the real person with the Christ complex in this room might be Matt Arnold over here.
Damn!
I'm just kidding, Matt.
I was trying to think of a way to turn that, but I couldn't.
You got nothing? No, but there's nothing wrong with that.
I'll just take that. I'll just sacrifice myself and take that insult.
If you come up with a really solid one later, we can edit it in.
Yeah. I feel the same way sometimes, right? Especially like if it's a movie I don't like, people talk.
And also, to be fair, being in the writer's room with Will literally every single day, I've heard Will talk about these movies to an extreme amount as well. I think Will's also gotten to a point where he just doesn't care anymore. He fell apart about 3 weeks ago. He's like, I fucking all movies, man. Iron Man 3, I don't care about any of them. They're all bad.
I went to it right around when Iron Man 3 came. I should have prefaced with that. You're right, Matt. Thank you for airing my dirty laundry. I hit a real wall right around when Iron Man 3 came out, and I was like, I can't care about another one of these movies. Like, I am broken now. Like, I can't watch another CG action scene and like speculate about whether they did the Mandarin right or like was it a honest, it's like, who cares?
Yeah. Well, what it is, it's just not. It's. I love the fundamentals of storytelling, I see the whole wave of Hollywood films moving away from that over the course of these past like 8 or so years. I've been watching movies a lot more extreme. Like, you can Die Hard is a beautiful story. As far as the structure and as far as like how it's told, and it's not about being like pretentious or trying to get. It's a good action movie that follows a basic.
But what you're lamenting is you're right that mainstream Hollywood has in its big tempo movies it has started to shift that way in certain ways. Although, again, you look at like a movie like Avengers comes out and knocks it out of the park.
I would say that's incredibly rare now.
Okay, well, fair enough. But what I'm saying is that it's not like those stories. It's not like well told films aren't being made, and it's not like good stories aren't being told all over the place. So like my reaction to it is like I at this point I just can't work up a sweat about it, especially since we work in new media. Like I can't work up a sweat about Hollywood screwing it up anymore. It's just like let's just make some good shit.
Hey, nice try.
Well, they're being told, but. The fact that all the movies that are being seen by millions and millions of people can't get... It's just frustrating when the top people in the industry and the movies that are going to be seen by 100 million people can't just do like the basic, like, hey, you know, when you see Superman's dad die... Sorry, guys, spoilers. When you see Superman's dad die...
You have
maybe,
to say that before
maybe,
you say...
It doesn't count. You can't say spoilers after you've spoiled.
Maybe
Pa Kent dies, this is a spoiler for people.
Exactly.
For some people, probably.
It's like, maybe that should be like part of the story that motivates his character rather than just like some goofy reveal. It's like, hey, guess what? All this stuff is important because this happened. Like, some of the most, like, just... Let's just care. I would just like to care about a fucking character for once in a huge movie.
And Matt, let me ask you so two
Fast
things.
And Furious 6, by the way, better story than most of the big. And even like as the biggest Whedon fan, even Avengers. Like I love Avengers, and it
was
essentially
it? I don't know
essentially
what the hell
breaks.
Happened in Fast Furious 6, whatever it's called. I enjoyed the shit out
but
of
I'll
that
tell
movie,
you what.
But I couldn't recant the plot to you.
But I'll tell you what. When it got to the end with the barbecue, that entire audience fucking flipped out in a way I didn't see in Superman or Iron Man or even Dark Knight Rises. They were like, dude, he has his family back. And the reason that works is because despite how silly that movie is, it follows just the basic storytelling tenets that at the end you're like, dude, I knew he wanted family. I understood who these characters are. They're all back full circle, and I'm totally happy with this climax.
So two points on that. So number one, Pa Kent dies because he's going after a dog, and like there was about half and half in the theater being like, I don't know, he kind of died for nothing. Yeah. A dog. It couldn't have been like a maybe a little kid or maybe a little disabled, like maybe minority child stuck in a car seat or something. But on my forum, it's really funny, it's in the awful forums, they posted up, and I was just like, cue two pages of people being like, I'd die for my dog. I'd run after my dog.
I, like, okay, I would have ran after my dog. Yeah, I mean, exactly. I buy it. Okay, so, I buy it. I don't know that it's something you really
It may not be
for,
the right emotional
like,
thing yeah, for the yeah. character to
like,
do.
Like, I'd run, you know, like, the, like, I mean, I would also lean way too far back in my chair and fall over. It wouldn't necessarily endear me to an audience. Like, it's something that you, I understand
We could
it.
Try that
I
right
totally
now.
Understand the throwing costume in the window chase after your animal.
Yeah, I get that, I get that. So
I can see also why it looks a little boneheaded.
It looks a little dumb. Well, because
especially in a movie where Superman's like picking up buses and stuff like that. And he's like, I gotta get the dog!
I don't know, but people do boneheaded things,
that's
right?
That's true.
So are we gonna
but
get
was
that
the,
worked
but
up
But was that the point of the scene?
That's well, there's also a simple problem with because they've been cross-cutting with him as Superman.
That's true.
That
it's a flashback.
In that moment, you're like, why did he just fucking fly and get him right away? Because you've been seeing this. Now, if it was done chronologically, you'd be like, oh, he hasn't quite gotten his powers yet. But literally the whole scene.
Well, not even that. It's also that you but here's the thing. You don't understand where he is in his chronology of.
Well, up to that point, they're trying to hammer home the fact that the dad keeps. Exactly. Dad sacrifices and shows
exactly.
him, I'm willing to make a sacrifice for you to prove the point that you have to protect who you are.
Exactly, the identity. Yeah,
right.
Which is something that is the defining character of Superman.
Okay, right. And
should be seen at the very beginning of the movie.
I'm going to try to Logan us away from this because we're getting into pretty boring Superman.
I get that. But let me pause it.
I agree. I'm with Will.
One more thing, though.
But just
Matt,
one more boring
do you
thing
feel,
about Superman.
Do you feel that these movies poison the well for how people interpret and watch stories, or do you think that
do you feel that the fundamental
basics of storytelling will shine through and people will react to it, maybe without even realizing they're reacting to it, in the same way the Fast Six at the end, everyone gets that?
Yes,
and that's still okay.
There's a reason why, even despite some of my problems with like feeling like the middle of the seasons always get boring, there's a reason why Game of Thrones works so well, and it's and why people respond to it, because in an age where everything's about climaxes and everything's about, like, again, Superman is just a bunch of climaxes of a story without any of the story. So it's like, oh, we need that scene where he figures this out, and we need the scene where this happens. Screw telling the story. Let's just do a flashback and show you that moment. Game of Thrones is a story that essentially every single scene you come into it with, like, holy shit, because that happened in the previous scene, and this is the emotion this character is going through. The moment this character walks into a room with this character, you're like, holy fuck, this is, I know what's going to happen, or I don't know what's going to happen.
Plus, you got a bunch of boobs on top of that. You got yourself
on top of it. Can I say at the beginning when it says the HBO warning, and it's like, warning, this episode contains N for nudity. It's just like, woo! Get the popcorn, boys! Get the popcorn, this is going
to
be a good one!
Are you talking to your testicles in that scenario, or?
Both of them. They both get up and lump over to my stovetop where we make popcorn.
Let's all go the
So yes, I think storytelling works because it creates empathy and it creates characters you care about, so it's always going to work regardless, even if people have been watching crap all the time. What you do, though, is that you train people who are growing up to essentially write stories to essentially think in that way. That's what's all that's happening. People have been listening to J.J. Abrams' Mystery Box, and they think that's how you tell stories, and now they respond. Just like anybody copies, people try to copy Tarantino for a while.
Yeah, but you're talking about creators. People respond to a good story in their gut.
Well, no,
like,
they
that's
do.
A, yeah,
no,
that's
no,
a hardwired thing.
But without
like
a doubt. But the industry definitely, I mean, again, it's not, you don't have to prove it. It's super easy to see. Tarantino does something with chronology. Everybody gets really excited, like, oh crap, okay,
oh,
this
yeah,
is how we
sudden,
do it.
All of a sudden,
every
like,
single person does it.
City.
Yeah, everybody does it. It just happens. You start responding to your artists that you care about, and you may not understand it. Now, he was doing something really cool. Now, with J.J. Abrams and these guys who are doing these mystery boxes and these constant reveals, you're going to have these writers who grow up, and eventually, hopefully, they'll like see a good story and that. But you'll definitely, I mean, you see it now. Everything. Even John Carter, all these things try to... I mean, we fell into it in our episode 6. Our first draft of episode 6 was like, oh, it's flashbacks and it's reveals and stuff like that. And luckily, like, freaking film critic Hulk looked at it and was like, guys, like, literally just tell the story in order and you'll... And not only when we put it in order, it instantly worked better and it also gave us the glue we needed to make the scenes work. And if we didn't have somebody to tell us that, we would have fallen in the same trap. And I like to think I understand story, but
which also made that,
I didn't.
Which also
moment.
Made that, by the way, in a technical level, the most ridiculous episode to shoot, because it would be like, all right, first it's scene 12, then it's scene 1,
yeah,
then it's
already,
scene 8,
yeah,
then
already,
it's scene
yeah,
32, because everything got shuffled around from a flashback
after
narrative
the first draft.
After first draft, right, two. Yeah.
Let's sail on, gentlemen.
Yeah, well,
very well.
Okay, I got something.
What right. say you, Captain?
Castration anxiety. How do you guys feel?
What?
Castration anxiety. The innate fear a man has of losing his penis.
Is that innate fear?
Is it innate?
It's, well, I feel like it's. I'll
Will, why don't you talk about
I'll clear. I'll listen. Clear about this. Are you?
Go ahead. I'm all listening.
Right, all right.
Professional, let's go.
I feel like the media does not deal enough with men losing their dicks and how scary that would be.
Wait, how often does this happen?
Not a lot. That's what I'm saying. Oh, I mean, how often do men lose their penises?
Right, like, that we should be this concerned about.
I don't have hard numbers
is it
for
like,
you on this.
I would like to
is
see
it like,
these.
How many, like, how many kids drown a year in pools? How
no,
many
but
men
you're
lose
walking
their...
down the street and you're like, my life's going pretty good, but then, like, if, like, a spinning saw
okay.
blade cut my dick off,
okay,
like,
this
that would fuck shit up.
This
like,
definitely snapped a memory in my head.
Okay.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Yeah. Wait, when he said, was it the part where he said, spinning saw blade snaps my dick off?
I don't think I've thought about losing my dick in quite a long time.
By the way, real quick.
Well, this by the way, is the writer. This is the
brief, but little quick warning here, guys.
I have to think about this stuff so you guys don't have to.
Quick warning here. This is now four dudes talking about dongs. All right, go ahead.
So I definitely remember I had a dream. It was either in high school or elementary school, and now it's incredibly vivid, which was just me going to the urinal, unzipping my pants, and I don't have a dick. And then I reach in my pocket, and the dick's in my pocket, and panicking. And, like, being too embarrassed to, like...
To tell anyone
right,
about
it's, like,
it.
It's probably what happens when you get, like, testicular cancer. You don't want... I have a huge nut. Like, it's embarrassing. So I'm, like, running around trying to think who I can tell, like, what teacher do I trust with this.
Are you still holding
And then I specifically remember me running into the girl I liked and having the dick in my hand and being, like... And then everybody started asking, what's in your hand? And I'm, like, panicking because I'm scared that my dick's going to, like, not go back, and I'm scared that the girl's going to find out I have my dick in my hand and the
this
guys know
such,
I don't have a dick.
This
so
is
many
what
levels.
I'm talking about. This
so
is
many
like,
levels here.
It's this whole layer cake of the male psyche that no one wants to talk about.
By the
know?
Way, the guy who animates podcasts, please animate that story. That
well,
would be good.
What I've always thought about was post-castration. Do you just walk up to a urinal and just kind of like... is this just like a slight spritzing of
well I mean
like
how
there, do you
there's the whys and wherefores but I feel like genuinely like I feel like a lot of what like I don't know I feel
like here's what sorry real quick just here's what it is you know like when you have Windex
please,
and you have
yes,
like the stream you have like the stream and you can turn the nozzle
yeah,
like
yeah.
Look, 90
okay.
degrees and then you get
really
the spray
is that really
where we're going
that's what
I couldn't picture it before so thank you
it's a Windex bottle that's kind of like what I think about. Anyway,
well,
sorry, yeah, don't mean
okay.
to derail.
Well, but what I mean, I don't know, I feel like it's like the...
or like those hose attachments where you can spin the front of it.
Does it make you feel, is it that it's actually, what's
For
more
bothersome? For love of God, can we cut
no, no.
all of this?
What's
disgusting and horrifying.
What's more bothersome? What's more bothersome to you, the fact that, like, the idea of castration or the fact that it's actually so terrifying to you because, as, like, I think you consider yourself an open-minded liberal man who is beyond such shallow things that you do still identify your entire manhood with your penis.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
I
and
do
I
too.
Think people don't want to, but it's like, you know, it's like, and I think primarily, like, if you talk about a fundamental male-female difference, like, our stuff is out there, you know?
Well,
it's
well,
exposed.
Hold on, though.
It's
but so,
like,
so hold on, hold on. Angelina Jolie lopped off both of them,
mm-hmm.
right?
Not her testicles.
She got a mastectomy.
Her breasts.
Mastectomy.
Yeah,
right. And wrote an op-ed about it. Could you imagine the flip side?
If Brad Pitt got his dick removed? Like, yeah, that would be people would be terrified. Angelina Jolie, and rightfully so, are like, she's incredibly brave. That's an incredibly heroic thing to do. Like, if Brad Pitt had that done, people would be, they wouldn't even want to talk about
it. Most,
like,
every
it
dude would
be
like
New York Times would just be like, we can't
would,
run
it's,
this, no.
It's verboten. I don't think people want to hear about it.
Every dude would be like, dude, you just should have died.
Yeah, that's exactly. Here's another thing. Here's something. People always talk about like, oh yeah, I'd die for my girlfriend. I'd die for my country. I'd die for my dog. Like, would you lose your dick for any of those things? Like, that's a totally different
no,
kind
true.
Of
I
thing.
Feel like you'd rather die than lose your dick.
There are, and it's weird. Like,
or they're the same thing. I'd be like, if it's like, hey, I'm gonna cut your dick off. I'd be like, just stab me
just
in the head.
Just keep going.
And that's insane. Like, are we? I feel like that says so much about men.
But
here's the thing: how we act and how we run the world.
But I think on a biological level, I feel like women have this very... But so you're talking about boobs and vagina. But if you want to talk about women have this very strong thing where it's like if you are infertile, right? There's a very strong...
The association.
Exactly.
With that, yeah.
I feel like that's a very similar reaction if you talk about when females are...
Okay,
like,
I know we're getting into like a human deep psychology here. For 1 second, and then I want to ask a corollary question.
Well, yeah, because I was just going to say it's like I feel like it's also biological to a degree, which is like our entire being
is about
focused
spreading your
to
DNA.
This thing
yeah.
that pokes down. It's like I'm going to spread my seed and I need to... repopulate the planet.
Isn't there,
if it's gone, it's like, what biological purpose do I serve right now?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
None.
Dance
write web series for people.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, no, kill myself.
It's like Bill Burr's got a series of jokes on that. He's talking about how he's a single 40-something-year-old man. he's at a Starbucks looking at like those CDs they have at the register. It's like, what fucking purpose does this man serve on the human earth? Like, just fucking die. Get out of the
I'm
way.
Just single,
you're causing
I'm not...
trouble. You're traffic. You're an extra mouth to feed. You're not populating shit. Go home and die.
Well, I suppose the only thing that it would be have to be by proxy. You'd have to then take on the guise of repopulating, helping other guys out because
it's one of those things. You also wonder, like, would it be liberating in this weird way? Like, would it be like,
well,
you know,
it's
like,
the only one we find out, Will.
Well,
isn't there like one of those like would you rather type questions? Not would you rather, but that type of question where it's like, how many inches of your schlong are you willing to sacrifice to gain something else? So something that was like, yeah,
she just
it's probably zero for most people.
Yeah, but it's like, or it's like
$100 million for 1 inch.
Or yeah, it's like,
oh, I mean, if we're talking about how many I got to spare, I mean, we can talk about
no, but it's like,
none.
Or it's you get into that like inches off your dick versus like brain cells or like IQ, like IQ points.
Well,
like,
that'd be a tough one because I don't think most people know what those are. Like fucking 100 billion. I don't. How many brain cells do I have? Like, most people don't know.
No, people like IQ points. Let's say IQ points. You know, so it's like we're gonna take 30 points off your IQ or half your.
I would
dick
rather have the other one. Could I get more IQ for more dick?
Wait,
is that a
that's not.
It doesn't work that way. That'd be great. That would be the right answer,
Matt,
by the way.
Come on, be realistic.
How great would be the situation of guys being like, hey, wouldn't it be great if you just got $1 million and superpowers? Like, yeah. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Would you rather have $1 million and superpowers? That's what it would be. It was brain cells for, because I feel like the real question would be the other way. Like, how much smarter would you get? How many brain cells would
bigger
you increase?
Dick, lose the brain cells. We would all enjoy Superman more. End of discussion.
Perfect.
We would all die happy men.
Boom.
Perfect.
This sounds like just a win-win all around here in this scenario.
Will, where the fuck did that come from?
Yeah.
I just, my notes.
Can I see them?
You can flip through. I can throw you some.
Is that rated number one? What's number two?
Every writer has one of these, and it's just your little place where you jot down your ideas. I have. Mm-hmm. I had an idea for an Irish pub called O'Goatsies, and it would be like a leprechaun, and he's holding like the pot of gold, like the Goatsy man. It's like top of the butthole to you.
That's awful.
What else do I have? They're just like dumb ideas for shit. Like a bunch of VGHS notes are in here. Stand-up ideas, stuff like that. I had an idea for a show called Storm Hackers. I was pitching to Matt. Maybe we can
Storm
talk about that.
Hackers.
Matt and I had a debate on it. So my take on Storm Hackers is it's Storm Chasers meets Hackers. So it's like Twisters meets Hackers. Okay. And so it's these guys.
So far,
and
by the way, totally
I'm sold.
So they drive into a tornado and then like throw a computer into it. And then a hacker on board hacks the storm and he can pilot. He can like surf the tornado by hacking it.
Okay, so can I pitch? So do you like that or
Can I pitch?
I thought he was done.
Then
I've heard it.
The storm gets struck by lightning and the computer, and it's like stealth, and so it's this hacked storm that's like sentient, going around destroying stuff, and then the hackers have to hack the hacked storm. It's like one of those.
Okay, I mean, that is awesome.
Yeah,
fair,
it's like one of those.
Maybe my idea is worse, but I said what it should be is that these hackers are so intense and they have such powerful computers, they can only do their hacking if they take the power of the storm. It's like we're going to the Pentagon, but they can't hack the Pentagon until there's an F5 tornado, and then they have to get close enough.
Is it like a weird sexual thing? So it's like crash.
So like they have, you know, they're like a wind powered computer has to gather the energy of the storm in
like
order to hack into the computers.
What if
of the
that
Pentagon?
Was in a post apocalyptic scenario where there was no electricity?
So they have to get storms,
and it's global warming that's caused storms to rage everywhere.
Well, we got our next show.
So it'll be Storm Hackers, and then part two, Storm Hackers Hack Stormers.
Storm Hackers, actually, I could see this happening.
I mean, this is a great name.
Yeah, it's just one of those really ones. That's all I do is come up with names. Like, that was like Video Game High School. Like, that was the name. And it was just like the show kind of just like fell out of that, you know?
Our cameras are dying all around us.
Dying.
It's okay. Hey, Alex, how far are we on in this one? All right,
41 minutes. That's
not bad. Man. We just lost one of our cameras over here.
I mean, we really just don't care anymore. So we just
no.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're still listening at this point, you're fully invested.
Yeah.
I don't think you're.
What
gonna
else
care
you got? I want to hear one more. I want to hear another.
Oh, this
let's
was
get a topic. Let's get
this
discussion.
Was something.
Hold on.
Okay. We're glamorizing heroin in old movies. Oh, that was like, I was thinking, like, wouldn't it be weird if, like, instead of, like, you know, old movies make smoking look sexy?
Yeah.
Instead, it was just, like, Cary Grant shooting up heroin. Like, yeah.
What do you think, guys?
That scene in Pulp Fiction comes to mind, actually. That looks quite glamorous.
Oh, that's true.
John Travolta shooting.
But it's like, I imagine, like, His Girl Friday, and they're all at the newspaper, and it's like, so, Johnson, what we got to do is get the scoop on the queen, and then we're just. they're all just on heroin. Humphrey Bogart's like, loosen up, sweetheart. Ah, smooth. Like, the worst Humphrey Bogart impression in the world. But okay, here's the thing. This was on Reddit the other day. I'm just gonna just front with that.
Okay.
So people have three cones of vision. It lets us see about a million colors, and they've discovered that like 2% of the world's female population has four cones.
Yeah,
and can see 100 million colors.
What?
They have like all these, and they don't know it because there's no way, because it's like you just looks normal.
There's actually a great radio lab.
Yeah, there's a radio lab about this.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And they talk about there's a species of shrimp.
Yeah, this is what's
insane.
That has like 7 or something. Like
17.
Yeah. 17.
So it goes
to
like certain creatures get up to 5, and it just jumps. This one shrimp has 17 cones, which means they see, like, I don't like what that shrimp is seeing. It must just be worth living for. Like, they're just sitting there just seeing the entire spectrum of everything visual you could possibly imagine.
So dark down there? Is that just an evolution?
It's
evolutionary trait
because
it's dim on the ocean floor?
But it's not just about dim and, like, it's they might, because when you get to that, you're not just seeing, like, more colors or something. You're seeing waves, like ultraviolet and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it might be a way to track.
Because everything's just mud, a wash of mud down there.
Yeah.
See through that predator style,
but they did so for the
ooh, predator vision or lose one inch of your dick.
1 inch.
Predator vision.
Yeah, I'll take predator vision.
Predator vision.
Like the full spectral range.
That's
the
trade
vision. Yeah,
guys, you realize that they have things you can buy that will give you predator vision.
But then you look stupid wearing them. So
you would look kind of stupid with the front part of your dick cut off.
Wait, how does that work?
Check me. What if they take an inch from the middle? Then you're really screwed.
Fuck.
No.
See, I just
that's like a genie
like a
curse.
It's
like, I'll give you $1 million for an inch of your penis. I didn't say which one.
That's the plot of Wishmaster.
Wait, hold on. Here's another one. This is another movie. I think we got another movie here. It's a genie. It's a malicious genie.
I like
that goes around.
Incident of a movie.
Yeah. It's a malicious genie that goes around and grants you wishes in exchange for inches off your penis.
I like that story is really just about a guy losing his dick and the way you get there is a genie. Like, anything.
Oh, man.
Jesus. All right.
Yeah.
Well, hey, you know what? We got season 2 to figure out and finish up.
Hey, guys.
I think let's wrap this one up.
Let's wrap this one up.
Let's all hold hands and pray.
I was just gonna
to Superman.
To Superman, yeah.
So yeah, let me just throw some just quick wrap up notes here out there. If you guys are watching this on YouTube, you can hear the other episodes. There are all 24-25 of them at our website, rocketjump.com. Logan, the other Jedi a-hole, has his podcast To the Future, which is I think a legitimately like really interesting
podcast.
Actually
a good podcast.
Yeah, actually I love this podcast.
I like this one. You just have to qualify like it's a Logan podcast, but it's actually really stimulating.
Well, I find myself listening to it in the same way like Radiolab and This American Life and stuff.
I think we don't consider ourselves that serious. Like even when we do VGHS, we're like, we're just a fucking bunch of dudes doing stuff. Mm-hmm. But like Logan's podcast is legitimately pretty awesome.
He talks about futurism with Ben Geely, 5 Second Films.
Some great hosts. I mean, guests and
guests.
Anyway,
check our site, rocketjump.com. There's a link on that site to support the podcast through the Amazon Associates program. So basically, if you want to get something on Amazon, just get it through us. It doesn't cost you anything, and it helps us out.
Buy a copy of VGHS through Amazon, and then it'll all go back to the same place.
That's true.
You can find these on iTunes.
I don't know. Actually,
I don't think you can.
Oh, really?
I think you can buy it on
our show isn't on Amazon, the world's biggest store.
I think you can buy it on Instant Video.
Amazon, which sells 83 different kinds of nail clippers, but not.
I think it's on Instant Video.
Okay.
I don't think it's on DVD.
If you're watching this on YouTube, we're also on iTunes, so get that iTunes thing going if you're subscribed to podcasts. Or if you're on like an iPhone or Android device, we're on the Stitcher app as well under Face Rocker Podcast. So. I should finish up with a drum solo.
Can we all turn
and
wave?
You gotta take us out, Freddie.
Let's look at the camera and wave to everybody. Hey,
Freddie,
guys.
You're not waving.
I'm gonna wave at mine
down here.
Oh, yeah, you're down there.
That's
weird. You were waving and it looked like my arm. That was so weird.
Oh, wait, here we go. This is not gonna work.
It worked with Matt's arm.
All right. Freddie, take us out. This is
so
totally
stupid.
Gran Turismo music.
This
is the car wash.
Car wash. Just like customizing my car.
Yeah.
Most useless feature.
I can't hear a single word you're saying, Freddy. Yeah, what'd you say?
The worst feature in any game ever, the car wash.
Dude, it makes your car go faster. I will swear to that.
Is this in 3D?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
Bye.